and welcome to Inside Your County Government, a podcast that brings you an inside look at the people and events in and around county government that shape your Charles County. I'm your host, Brent Huber. In this episode, we're going inside Van Gogh to learn all about Charles County's public transportation system. Hey, joining me right now is Jeff Barnett, Chief of Transportation. Welcome, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, Brent. Thank you.
All right, so Van Gogh, there's a lot of exciting things happening with Van Gogh. First of all, we got a new contractor.
We do. They've actually been on board about 2 years. We transitioned on July 1st of 2017. They're doing an excellent job for us.
So what exactly, I mean, what does the contractor do within the Van Gogh network?
Well, the county owns the buses, and this is a fairly typical relationship across the country. They're not a new model for this by any means. We own the equipment, but we lease them the fleet for $1 a year, and they manage it for us. They staff the drivers, the dispatchers, the mechanics, are responsible for all the maintenance. And we basically, as a county staff, design the routes, monitor their performance as a contractor, and handle the grants. So we just oversee the contract, but they have all the problems of flat tires and getting drivers in and training them.
Well, that kind of makes it a little bit easier for the county.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So they manage the fleet. The county doesn't actually manage the fleet.
Correct. But we oversee the monitor the contract. We make sure that they're doing the proper preventive maintenance, that their drivers are trained properly, and that the fares are collected properly and managed.
Awesome. And with that contractor came some additions to the fleet, right?
Yes, we've been very fortunate in financing for new buses, replacement buses. Fleet's virtually brand new.
Oh, wow.
The last couple of years. We have new buses coming in. We just deployed 8 brand new buses to replace some aging equipment. Mm-hmm. And we have 5 new ones coming in September. They'll probably be on the road by October.
Oh, wow. So people can look out for those.
We have a steady stream of replacement equipment coming in. So we're keeping the fleet very modernized.
Well, yeah. Well, that's important on a lot of different levels. But I imagine with buses, there's a lot of abuse. it's a hard life to be driving constantly around and around and around and around.
We run 1.8 million miles every year right here in Charles County.
1.8 million?
We have a fleet of 41 buses as of next week.
And, oh, my gosh.
So we put a lot of miles on, about 60,000 miles a year.
Per bus. Wow.
So we're out there from first buses hit the road by about 4:45 in the morning, and the last ones don't roll until about 10:30 at night.
Wow. And pretty much the entire county is covered, right?
Yes, we have pretty much everything covered. Some of the very rural areas are not. But for elderly and disabled folks, we do have some limited door-to-door service in those areas as well.
Yeah, could you talk a little bit about that and what that door-to-door service is?
Sure. It's a lot of people define it as Americans with Disabilities Act type transportation.
Mm-hmm.
So for folks who are unable to ride the fixed route service because of a physical or mental disability, can apply for, and if their condition would warrant it, we approve door-to-door service for them.
Oh,
and
wow.
That's available to anyone that's within 3/4 mile of a fixed route route.
Okay.
And the same times and days that the service operates. And they can call the day before up to the close of business to schedule a trip for the next day. Now, we do have some other service outside of that 3/4 mile. It's available 3 days a week, different days of the week, depending on the zip code. And it's much more limited, but that does make the service available for doctor's appointments or shopping.
Now, when it comes to routing and it comes to the fixed route, there's some easy ways that people can find out about routes. And, I mean, I understand there's an actual Van Gogh app.
Yes. Yeah. We can talk a little more about that. But the best way to get information on Van Gogh is go to www.go-vango.com.
Go-vango.com.
Correct.
Yeah, I'll put that in the show notes so people will be able to click through that.
Yeah, and you get right to our schedules, and all the information on all of our services is there, as well as the schedules and the routes.
Awesome. But you've got this app now, and it'll let you track the buses, let you know, somebody know if it's running a little behind.
Oh, it's incredible. It's called Double Map, and all you have to do is Google Double Map Charles County, and it'll take you right to it. You can select what bus route you want to activate just by tapping on it.
Oh, wow.
And as a staff, we have all of them up so we can see the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see your bus actually moving around on the map. And if you go out to catch your bus and say it's 2 or 3 minutes past the time it should have been there, you can look on the app and see that, oh, it's all still 5 minutes away. Mm-hmm. But the cooler thing is you can tap on any of the bus stops on there, or hover over it rather. It'll tell you the next two buses that are due at that stop in real time, how the buses are actually operating. So it's a fantastic tool. We have about a third of our riders that responded to a survey said they're using it. And we'd like to see that number go up because we know people have iPhones.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got some kind of device that they're walking around with.
Sure. It's the app is free. Of course, you probably would pay data if you don't have an unlimited plan for that. But it's a fantastic tool. And we can also post notices if there's announcements for weather delays or something like that. We can post it so our riders are more informed that way.
Yeah, technology is an amazing tool. And you've got some technology inside the buses now, too, for safety and security.
We do. About a year ago, we installed every bus has 8 cameras with audio. And it catches just about every angle inside the bus and a couple outside the bus. And we've done that for passenger safety. I think it gives riders a peace of mind that something unsavory is not going to happen on the bus because they know we're being watched.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also useful for the community, for law enforcement, because we capture images outside the bus. And if law enforcement is investigating something that didn't have anything to do with public transit, but we may have had a bus in the area. So we've been working with them closely. We have them in just about every week looking for footage of some sort.
So there's cameras in the bus and around the outside of the bus.
Some of it outside, yeah.
Yeah, wow, wow, wow.
So it's a pretty a common trend in public transit and even smaller transit agencies like ourselves.
Now, speaking of trends, there was a national citizen survey that was done, and the results came back, and there was some issues with transportation, but you guys have drilled down to it to pull out the actual public part, because I think everybody will agree, transportation around Charles County and traffic has its moments.
Sure does.
And we don't want to confuse just the transportation of, you know, us driving on the road with the actual public part of it.
Yeah, I think that what we saw when that survey came back, well, I think it was about 2 or maybe even 3 years ago, the transportation component of that, and that was the general public here in our county. We were kind of middle of the road on what they perceived the quality of transportation to be. So we didn't know what context that was. Was it commuter buses into Washington? Was it walkability and bikeability in the community? Or was it local public transit, Van Gogh? So when we did our survey as part of this 5-year transit development plan, about a year and a half ago, we wanted to do the same basic survey as we did the prior 5 years to get feeling if anything had changed. And we did throw a few extra questions in to see. And the general public that responded to one of our surveys, we did an onboard survey, we did a business community survey, and we did a general public survey. The general public survey came back that the vast majority of respondents were aware that there's a public transit system, but their perception of it was middle of the road to possibly a little bit negative. And so we said, aha, we may have touched on something. So we need to work as managers to try to improve that perception.
Yeah, because one of the things that I did not know about Van Gogh was that, I mean, I live way over on the west side, and there's a stop by my house, or within a mile of my house or so. I didn't know until that long ago that I could actually go out there, get on a Van Gogh, and find myself to Metro and the National Airport with a couple connections and go anywhere on the planet. And that just kind of like blew my mind.
Yeah, yeah. You'd have to make a few connections from Nanjamoy, but if you're more in the urban area in Waldorf, you could do it much more conveniently. We have connections to Prince George's County, Route number 36. We worked with them, it's been 5 or 6 years ago now. We worked very closely to get that new route started. In fact, we actually got the seed money from the Federal Transit Administration, and Prince George's was a subrecipient of ours. It was kind of neat, tail wagging the dog sort of thing.
Yeah.
But we started that new route. It's been pretty successful. They come all the way into Charles County, and we have connections at Mattawoman Beantown Park and Ride and the Pinefield South Shopping Center, with two of our routes. But on September 3rd, we're going to add a new route that'll go from Waldorf up to Brandywine Crossing. And I'll do that hourly. And Prince George County is going to move their connection up to Brandywine Crossing. So you can make a connection just one time. That'll run hourly. So we'll have that connection every hour.
So that'll be really convenient for commuters or for anybody that wants to get from Waldorf into the D.C. And connect up with public transportation there.
Via local transit, yeah. And commuter bus would still be the best way to do it, but that's normally morning peak going in and p.m. peak coming back. But we're excited about that. I think that I can't speak for Prince George's County, but I have had direct conversations as recently as this week with their senior planner, and they're trying to route that so that it would go from Brandywine Crossing and make a direct connection to the Branch Avenue Metro Station. And now you'd have to make a connection to another route in Prince George's County. So we're real excited. If that happens, we'll help them to exploit that a little bit, because it'll be great for our residents that use transit.
Yeah, there's a lot of planning in public transportation in there.
Yeah, yeah. And we don't have any fancy software. We all do it just by drawing lines on a map.
But even in long term, I mean, you got to think about contractors, you got to think about buses, you got to think about replacement, you got to think about routes. And you're now working on this, or have just completed a transit development plan, right?
Yep, that was approved by our commissioners in January of this year.
Yeah. So what's the future look like for Van Gogh?
Well, one of the initiatives in there was to develop this new route to Brandywine Crossing.
So
6 months later, it'll start September 3rd. But yeah, I mean, it's funny, Brent, because I've got a 10-year fleet management plan, and the buses that aren't even in service yet, the ones I told you the five would be getting in September, October, we already have a retirement date scheduled for those. But it's all spaced out when they get engine and transmission replacements midlife, and you have to think all that through and then kind of line up the funding to do that.
Yeah. And speaking of funding, how does Van Gogh get paid for? Cause I mean, that's one of those questions, that comes up quite frequently. Is it just the fare money? And you mentioned something about grants, but it's.
Yeah. Well, we get on a good year, our capital equipment and any accessories that go with that can be funded up to 80% Federal Transit Administration, 10% Maryland Transit Administration, and 10% local. So that's a real good deal when we can get it, and we've been pretty successful there. Operationally, the cost of operations, and just to kind of put it in perspective, I think this year is about $6.5 million to operate all the Van Gogh service, including the specialized door-to-door ADA service. Close to 50% of that comes from the Federal Transit Administration, about 5% from the Maryland Transit Administration, and then about 8% through the fare box, and the balance of that from the county general fund. That 8% fare box recovery is kind of low. We didn't raise that for quite some time because we had kind of substandard service out there with the previous contractor. The fleet of buses was unreliable. We got kind of a lemon fleet. And that combined with maintenance really wasn't up to par. It was the running public was suffering, so we didn't think that was a good time to raise fares. But we're looking at bringing that 8% number up to something higher, which would certainly be a fare increase.
No, and you made the adjustments. You bring in a new contractor, they bring in a new maintenance plan, they bring in new buses, and now the whole system seems to want to start taking off and really starting to grow. And as the population continues to grow in our urban areas, I mean, we gonna see a big like bus or?
Well, it's funny you say that, and people have said that to me before. There's kind of like truck type buses. In the industry, we call them truck buses. They cost, to put it in perspective, I had $165,000 budgeted for a medium duty bus,
And that's kind of like what you have now.
What we have now,
the van chassis kind of,
right? About 25 passengers with two wheelchair positions. All of our 100% of our fleet's wheelchair lift equipped with tie downs, so we're very sensitive to that, and we want to be there for our folks that need it. But we went out to bid on our own. Normally, we buy off state contracts.
Right,
it's easier, but we decided to do it on our own. And those new buses we're seeing out in the street, they've only been out there for 2 or 3 weeks. These are larger, 23-passenger with two wheelchair positions. They came in at $95,000. So I'm frugal. I like to be a good steward of the county's money. And I said, okay, well, we were able to convert that into more buses. Okay, so halfway through the life of the bus, we can put a new engine transmission in it for $12,000 to $15,000 and run it another $200,000. So we're going to get 400,000 miles out of these buses. A rear-engine diesel bus costs about $400,000.
Oh, my. I had no idea.
So then to replace an engine halfway through its life, you're going to have to belly up maybe $30,000.
Oh.
They're slated to be a 500,000-mile bus, but over the course of 12 years. So if I do the math on it, we're better off replacing a bus at 6 years.
Right.
For $95,000, and we're going to put 400,000 miles on them. You're only looking to get another 100,000 out of a really expensive bus. So I think that's a good deal for the taxpayers.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. We want to make sure that our money is spent well.
Yeah. So at some point, you know, we may look at the heavy duty bus, but when you look at the realities of the expenses, it doesn't make sense.
I would imagine, like with anything else, there's a tipping point where the population and the ridership gets high enough where that's sort of necessitated. And we're not quite to that point. I mean, our buses are, they're on the road, they're moving people, but we're not at capacity yet is what I'm trying to say.
No. Well, we have a fleet of about half the fleet, 16 passenger.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had some capacity issues on some of the heavier routes.
Oh.
And so we really needed the larger, what we call medium duty rather than the light duty. You know, some of this transit development plan is calling for increasing the frequency of buses, particularly in the Waldorf area.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, you're spreading the ridership loads out a little bit where the smaller buses really can do the job.
Wow.
And more cost effectively.
Yeah. So it's all about planning and timing and managing your resources.
Absolutely.
Awesome. All right. Well, Jeff, thank you so much for being with us today.
I thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. Remember, you can find more great podcasts online at charlescountymd.gov/podcast. Like this episode? Then head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. We can be found under Charles County Government.